Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. Thanks for tuning in. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Pastor Dr. Alec Rollins. We talked about the presence of God. Such an engaging conversation. You're going to want to go back and catch that podcast. And you can do that by going to our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. We're switching gears now. We're bringing back a guest we've had on a number of times, Jennifer Kennedy Dean. I always love talking with her. She knows the word and just such an engaging guest. And she's written a number of books since the one we're talking about today. But I wanted to revisit this topic because it's so interesting. The title of her book is The Power of Small. Think small to live large. When you think about, Scripture says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. And it just takes a small seed of faith. That's such a big deal to God. So we're going to talk about how down is the new up. You know what I mean? Humility is really the way to go. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Jennifer Kennedy Dean is Executive Director of the Praying Life Foundation, a respected author and speaker. Her book's Heart's Cry is a primary resource for the National Day of Prayer, and her book, Live a Praying Life, has been called a flagship work on prayer. Jennifer was widowed in 2005 after 26 years of marriage to Wayne Dean, her partner in both life and ministry. They are the parents of three grown sons, and they have three daughters-in-law. You can find her author page at our website, myfaithradio.com. Jennifer, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. So good to be back. And could I just make this announcement? I just had a new grandbaby.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. Is this the first one, or do you have others?
No, this is my fourth.
Oh, fourth. Yes. Wow. What's your grandbaby's name?
His name is Roger Wayne. Wayne is my husband's name. Mm. And Roger was my late brother. I lost a brother when he was 17 and I was 19. So it's a very sweet name to
wow.
me.
Wow.
Little Roger Wayne.
What a legacy.
Yay!
Well, congratulations. Wow, that's amazing. He's surrounded you with goodness, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So good.
Yes.
Well, you've been on the show enough times to know that we love to just start our conversations talking Scripture. I'm wondering if there's a verse that the Lord's been speaking to you about these days.
Yes, as I've been reviewing and thinking about the power of small, it reminds me of that powerful verse that says, he who is faithful in the small things will also be faithful in much, but he that is unfaithful in the small things will also be unfaithful in much. It just says a lot into life and how to live it.
So unpack that as a Bible teacher. Maybe unpack that for us a little bit more.
Yes, you know, we're just attuned to big and dramatic and over the top, but where the real work of the kingdom goes on in your daily, minute by minute, day by day life. And sometimes we consider that unimportant and we think that that real faith only shows up at big times of drama. But here's what I've learned. I've had some big events in my life, but as I process it all, I think, you know, the big events, that's not really where I learned. That's where I put to work what I'd learned.
Mm.
And it's in those daily little obediences, little being faithful in this, in the small things, in the small moments, the thing nobody's ever going to know about. No, you're not going to be able to tell the story. Nobody's going to admire you. It's just those little things, and that's what builds up maturity and true faith so that when those big dramas, which is not most of life, most of life is just everyday stuff, but when those big dramas come, you have learned something in the small that translates into big.
Mm, that's so good. As you're talking, Jennifer, I'm thinking about just scripture, I've placed before you life and death, choose life. And you think about that, that is so true in the context of our eternity. But even in the day-to-day moments, there are life-giving perspectives. There are death-dealing perspectives. There's life-giving words and death-dealing words. And just unpack that, if you would, a little bit, because it seems we're facing forks in the road way more often than we even know. And in those little private places where nobody's watching, it matters which perspective we choose, how we pray, if we love, if we don't. Talk about just the ripple effect of just choosing life versus not.
Yes, and that's just it. You're always choosing, and you're choosing between, in this moment, in this tiny moment, am I going to respond in the flesh or am I going to respond in the spirit? That's really what you're always choosing. And so it's those... it's the way you use the minutes of your day. It's the way you respond to the person in front of you. It's just every day brings new things, but because of the way we think about small is unimportant and big is important, small is not worth anything and big is worth everything. It's just the opposite. It is all those small decisions that you make every day, all those small moments of obedience that you make every day. I think about Jesus. You know, the scripture, he says, if you obey me like I obey the Father. I have just been captivated by that, like I obey the Father. But here's what occurs to me. We have very few of Jesus' days have a written record to them. All those days in between, he was just living out step by step, perhaps unobserved obedience, just like we're called to live. So when he says, if you obey me like I obey the Father, the first thing that comes to mind is he obeys the Father in the tiniest little details that aren't even worth somebody writing down and reporting, just tiny little details. But that's how his life was lived. That was the mark of his life. And it was in the small things, so that when the big moments come, the faith is there, the maturity is there, you've learned to know God.
Good. And you think about those moments where you decide, you know, I could have self-pity right now, but I'm going to worship instead. Or I could, you know, add this to the account against my spouse, or I'm going to count the ways that I love and bless him. I mean, each of those little decisions, as scripture says, flesh gives birth to more flesh. So even if it seems harmless enough to have a thought that's of the flesh, well, that just gives birth to more flesh. But then,
to
make the choice, to have a choice that's born out of the Spirit gives birth to more of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, Jennifer, you've written a kajillion books. And so I would love to know, even though you've written a number of books since you've written this one, what inspired you? What was the catalyst for you to go, I'm going to write about the power of small? What was that about?
Yeah, you know, because I began to have that thought that I said before. It's not in the big dramatic moments solidified my faith. The faith that had been solidified in the small moments came to fruition right there. That's where we put it to work. But I don't know, I'm always processing how things work, and that's kind of what I began to think is, and I started thinking over the days of my ministry and all the things. Like, think of the biggest thing that you can think of. Think of a huge mountain. And you look at a mountain, you go, that is big. Well, what it is billions and billions and billions of tiny cells, molecules. And molecules have even smaller components. So really, anything that's big is just a whole lot of small. And it just began to change my perspective to think about it more deliberately in that way, that moments that before I had thought of as kind of insignificant, I realized were essential. If we want to live large, we have to think small.
We want to live large, we have to think small. And I think it's so easy to look at the big things because we celebrate the big things, and we marvel at the big things. But as you say, those big things started small. You hear about big businesses owners who say, well, we started in the garage or in our living room or our dining room table. But all we can see is the big. And we might have a dream in our heart to think, but I can't get there from here, so I'm not going to start at all. And yet scripture talks about don't despise the days of small beginnings. Talk about why we despise those days and why we ought not to.
Yes, because just thinking about the birth of my little grandson, there's not a single human being alive that didn't start out as a tiny little group of cells in the womb of a mother, didn't come onto this earth as a tiny little baby. You're not going to get to adulthood without starting out at babyhood. That's just, God has put the whole world together that way. A plant is not going to grow until a seed has fallen into the ground. It's just, it is always about that. And for me, Susie, it has to do with believing God to be sovereign over every moment of my life, that nothing in my life is random, that God is engineering and allowing and planning and allowing into my life the very things and events that if I will exercise obedience and faith in the small moment that that is in my life today, just do this day, then that's gonna put down roots for when, again, those big things come along. And so it makes daily life an adventure. Now, if someone were to, you know, if I were on a reality show and there was a camera following me around every day, there would be many of my days that I'm researching and sitting at my desk and working, and if a camera were watching me, you'd watch that and go, that was a really boring day. But you were not at the party inside my head.
Yeah.
You know, so it begins to give life texture and meaning and a sense of eternity to every moment, and just nothing, you begin to realize, really, nothing is insignificant.
Mm-hmm. And it celebrates faithfulness in the smallest ways, because even though, you know, on a reality show, many may be bored watching that, heaven celebrates because these are acts of obedience that you're doing to steward your gift. But I think also what happens is we don't despise those days of small beginnings, but we are faithful in them and with them. God conditions us to carry the next level, the more and the much. Mm-hmm. And isn't that just so illustrated when you see someone who wins a lottery, how often that ruins their lives? I mean, there's so many stories of they become worse off financially. Their relationships are blown up because they were never really conditioned to carry that amount of money, where someone maybe who's built a business by just one faithful step after the next suddenly is able to steward that in a way. I mean, not all do, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
there's a conditioning that happens when we start small that I think shows of God's protection over us as he gets us ready, don't you think?
That's right. I tell a story in the book about the very early days of my ministry and a speaking engagement where we were expecting a fairly good turnout, and I got there and there was like nobody there. There's a tiny little turnout. And my first, I'm just going to get this over with and get home as fast as I can. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly. You speak to those women as if they were thousands of women. You give them pressed down, shaken down, and running over. And, you know, the Lord did such a mighty thing there that it was pivotal in my understanding of ministry to understand the difference between when the Lord decides to move and when you've given a good speech. And I still, to this day, all these decades later, will have people come up and say, I was there when that happened. You know, it changed the entire way I was going to think about ministry from then on.
Maybe God's calling you out to take a step, and it feels small, but it feels big. We've got two copies of Jennifer's book, The Power of Small, Think Small to Live Large. Chime in with a question or comment. Phone lines are open, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484. More with Jennifer Kennedy Dean in just a moment.
Has been bringing forth to me to walk forward in obedience is regarding my family. They live in another state, and it's challenging to continue to cultivate that relationship with them. But right now there's a lot of hard family tension going on with my younger brothers, and so the Lord's been continuing to stir up within me to reach out and be intentional and create space in my day to make sure that I'm calling, to make sure that I'm continuing to be intentional with them. And so by doing that, I've seen how my brothers have been more receptive to just interacting with my parents, and I've seen just the Lord continue to revive their hearts.
What a dear young gal. But can you see the power of obedience, simple obedience? Are there little nudges that you're sensing are from God to make that call, write the letter, just obey? Love to talk with you. 877-933-2484. Talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. She's an author and a speaker and a Bible teacher. We're talking about her book, The Power of Small. Think small to live large. So don't underestimate the power of those little nudges. In fact, you write, Jennifer, he still breathes. Where is he working and shaping your life right now? The little nudges, the longing for something more, the hunger for something deeper. You are clay in his hands. Let him shape his vessel. I'd love for you to talk to that person, Jennifer, who maybe is feeling the longing, maybe a little soul stirring, but has missed the nudges that go along with it. Maybe just speak a word of encouragement to them.
And I want to say to you, listener, that you are hearing God. Now, it doesn't, you know, hearing God doesn't always feel like hearing a voice inside your head. It's those as we little nudges, little, it's what comes to you as an idea or just a random thought, and you follow up on that and you begin to realize that that is God moving you forward in obedience. And it's and again, it's the small things. I was thinking on the break here about a woman I heard the other night who is a woman of great influence and a person who, of great accomplishment. But here's how she started. She started as she started with a very humble beginnings. She got married very young to an abusive man. She found herself in the emergency room of the hospital for the manyth time. And just an intern who was working on her said just this one thing to her. He said, "You're better than this." Mm. No one, doesn't that seem insignificant? Like, he didn't plan out a big speech. He just said what was on his mind at the moment. And it, for some reason, it hit her just right. It changed her whole perspective. No one had ever said to her, "You're better than this." It's those small things that change everything sometimes. You can never tell. You can never tell what kind of seed you're going to plant, what kind of plant it's going to bring.
Hmm. Well, you tell the story of a woman named Sandra, who seemingly had it all in soul. And I love how assured she was that God was going to speak to her in a way that she understood. And she said, "I just leaned into it and said, 'Lord, I'm here to do whatever you tell me to do.' Then I relaxed and thought, 'God knows how to tell me what he wants me to hear.'" Jennifer, I just love that response, because I think we can overthink these things and worry that we're not hearing from God, but he really does know how to speak to us in a way that we can understand. So there's a grace in this whole thing of responding, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. It does not have to be stressful. You don't have to be struggling. "Oh, God, what are you trying to tell me?" He is going to make it so clear to you as you just relax in him. He is... Once we enter into that relationship with him, Jesus comes to make his home in us. He is not far away. You do not have to chase him down or shout him down. He is so close that he can make direct deposits out of his mind into yours, and ideas just show up. And I'll tell you a quick story about when my husband was ill and in his last days, and a friend of his came to visit us, and his friend Jim was telling us that as he drove to our house, the old hymn, "There's never a day so long," no, I can't remember the words. "There's never a night so weary, there's never a day so long, that somewhere you find a song," goes something like that. And he said that his prayer became, "Give Wayne a song today." Okay, now on that very same night, while Jim was still there, our friend Libby, who is a member of the church choir, just got this idea in choir. "When we're finished practicing, let's go over to Wayne and Jennifer's house and just sing to Wayne." And the choir came over to our house and sang to Wayne. It's just those little things, those little ways that God, as Jim responds to what feels to him like just an idea that came to him and prays exactly what God is going to provide and comfort for us on that night. It's just amazing to watch how God is in the details.
And don't you think those are all little invitations, sometimes big invitations, but they're all invitations to take part in the bigger kingdom story. And I don't want to miss any of those. So I want to live with my ear bent towards heaven and not wave those things away like I've just made them up. I mean, to trust that God is speaking. And I know, as I said, you've written a number of books since this one, so I don't expect you to remember every story that you write in this book. But this Sandra that we were talking about, she went to a church and she was very happy and very settled in a very big church, but felt that restlessness and said, Lord, okay, I'm listening, and I know that you'll speak to me in a way I'll understand. Well, the Lord called her to a different church. Do you remember this story, Jennifer?
Yes, I do.
Would you mind telling the rest of that story?
But she, and so they go from a very large, influential, affluent church into an inner-city, small, struggling church and begin to plant their lives there. And just all the resources that they're so used to having that these people have never even heard of, and just began to and found themselves so happy and at home and right where God wants them. And now they're still there. So there are generations of kids by now that have come through their teaching in that little church and experienced things they would never have experienced otherwise. Mm. But to be able to move from big to small, see, we call it a demotion. But it's a promotion.
Fruit in our lives?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he says about, that's exactly what he says he's going to do. I'm not going to pamper you. I'm not going to shield you from everything. I'm going to prune you. Because after I've pruned you, then the fruit will be even more lush.
Well, can you think of other times in your life, Jennifer? We just got about a minute and a half before we go to break, but a time where it seemed like he was demoting, cutting you back, and then you realized it was a pruning for greater fruitfulness?
Yes, and without going into great detail, there have been numbers of times throughout the walk of being in a full-time ministry where for all the world it looked like he was taking away instead of giving. There would be times when it looked like resources were dwindling instead of growing. And yet when I would stop and let the Lord speak to my heart, I would hear, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, and it would always turn around to be everything I need, always provided, and that period of time, that walk when it looked like demotion instead of promotion, when it looked like taking away instead of giving, those were times when deep roots of faith took hold and prepared me for the next thing that was coming along. I still look back at those times. I go through my prayer journal and look back at those times and go, oh, yes, God is so faithful. And without times like that, when it looks like it's going backward, but it's really going forward, without times like that, we won't learn how to see how God is working out in the kingdom.
And when you think about it, that your roots would go down deeper and make you a more sturdy plant, so to speak. So when the greater fruitfulness comes on top, you're sturdy enough to carry it. I mean, it's amazing that dynamic, how that happens, isn't it?
Yes, and isn't that, just as you're saying that, I'm always so fascinated at how God has built truth into his creation.
Yeah.
So when he can point at his creation and go, this is the visible illustration of how the invisible works. And it's just all over creation that small is the new big.
So good. Well, you sure are quiet this second hour, so I want to hear from you. Tell me about a time when you made a small choice and it ended up making all the difference. Otherwise, if you've got a question for Jennifer, chime in. When have you made a small choice and it turned out to make a big, big difference? 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking about the power of small, this is a great conversation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We have a new little one in our home, and just trying to love my wife sacrificially by putting some of the things that have been on my agenda aside and try to enter in to that and help her and serve her, doing things, more things around the house, and enter in and holding the baby. And sometimes that's in the middle of the night, and I think that the Lord is blessing that, encouraged by it.
What a good man. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Second hour here, we're talking about the power of small. Those little choices, those little efforts make such a big difference. You know, even the little seeds of faith that we plant really produce a harvest. And so I want to hear from you. Tell me about a time just when you've made little choices, maybe a significant choice that turned out to be have a significant outcome. So maybe it felt small at first, but it turned out to be sort of a big deal after. 877-933-2484. We've got Michelle calling in from Blaine, Minnesota. Michelle, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. I've loved the show today.
So glad. So tell us about a time that you made a choice that seemed maybe small, but ended up being big.
Well, God put it on my heart 3 years ago when I was speaking at church to our kids, and I was sitting with them and saying, you know, just spending 5 minutes a day with the Lord is so important because he loves you so much, and all you have to start is with 5 minutes. And this was a small group. And a few months later, I had the opportunity to minister to 500 children at our vacation Bible school and tell them about the 5 minutes and about how God is just listening for their voice. And at the end of that week of VBS, God really put it on my heart to start a ministry called Give Him Five. And it has just flourished. I have an acronym called Begin With Faith, and that's using the letters in faith. And it's find a quiet place, ask Jesus to be with you, tell him what's important in your life, thank him, and ask him for his help. Mm. It's just about spending time with him to grow in relationship and fall in love with him.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is such a perfect illustration of the power of small, because 5 minutes, focus, you know, we, again, with our mindset of everything has to be big, like we think, well, if I don't have a whole hour, I can't do it. But it's 5 minutes. I love that. That's wonderful. And planting it in those little children, the power of small, what children learn, that's what sticks with them until they're adults. So there will be adults until the end of time whose lives are changed because one day you said to a group of children, just take 5 minutes.
Wow. Michelle, can you just let that in for a moment in your obedience and even your heart to communicate he wants to be with you because he loves you so much? I mean, do you just marvel when you think about that?
I absolutely do, and I just know without a doubt that he hears our voice, and now that it's gone from children to adults, and I have been doing talks, and I have coffee mugs, and I'm working on a book to encourage prayer, and people have come up to me and said, this has changed my prayer life, and it's made me bold to talk to people and just look them in the eye and say, how is your prayer life? And it just starts a conversation, and it's so beautiful, and I've seen the fruits, and I'm just so excited to see what God is going to do with it.
Well,
yeah,
Michelle, cool. Yeah, as you write your book, you get a copy of Jennifer's book, The Power of Small. You may want to quote her in your book.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. God bless you, dear sis. Bless you.
Bless you, too. Bless you, too. May he be with you.
877-933-2484. So you've got a header in one chapter, day six, it says here. I love this. I'm going to read it and just have you speak to it, Jennifer, okay, if you would. I love this. It says, in some areas of your life, you have moved into the promised land and are living large. Look around. Remember on purpose that God is the provider and the sustainer. In some areas of your life, you're on a desert walk. When you feel the desert's heat, step back mentally and look for how God's provision is evident. Today, find one thing that you will thank God for instead of complain about, and then pray, do your work, refiner's fire, that in the end, it may go well for me. That is just a packed statement. Say more about that.
Yeah, and that's just it, is that much of God's work is done in the desert, and in the desert walk, it is just put one foot in front of the other, put one foot in front of the other, and when the Lord is talking to the Israelites about how his walking them through the desert, he says that it may go well with you. So when we're in the middle of the of the desert, and sometimes it just feels like drudgery, and it feels like nothing's happening, and it feels like I take one step, but it doesn't seem to move me forward. Then you have to know that the purpose of this walk in the desert is that it may go well with you. So it's important how we respond in the desert walk. It's important how we respond there, because the purpose of it is that it may go well with you.
And you mentioned, actually, in that day, that particular day, that there are some who maybe have it all, quote-unquote, in ministry, and then lose it all. Mm-hmm. And really, those departures start with small departures as well. So just say a word about that, because we want it to go well with us. We end this show every day that we would last long and finish strong, and the Lord is the one to keep us. So just talk about even the importance of those small departures, of not going there.
Just like faith and faithfulness and trust is built small obedience by small obedience, the falling away always starts with a small disobedience. And so it works on the same principle. It's that we fall away small disobedience by small disobedience that finally grows into something big. And whether it's ever public or whether you're ever a headline or not, losing that intimacy with the Lord, losing the power of His call on your life, it is not worth any small disobedience. So again, it's that mindset of small matters, because sometimes just the way we overlook a small obedience because it seems small and insignificant, we might easily whitewash a small disobedience because nobody's going to know. It seems small and insignificant. It's just this. I'm going to obey God and everything else. I'm just going to, just this one thing. And pretty soon, one thing leads to the next. And small by small, there's pretty soon a big fall.
Mm-hmm. Talked to a pastor once who'd had a moral failing. And when we asked him, what happened? Tell us what happened. And he said something so profound, I'll never forget it. He said, I just kept changing the rules a little at a time. Mm-hmm. And so, speak to that person who's driving today, listening, thinking, okay, I've changed the rules. It's not hurt anybody yet, quote unquote, but I've changed the rules. What would you say to them?
Well, the first thing I would say is it has hurt you.
Yes.
Whether anybody else has found out yet or not, or whether it's even the kind of disobedience that anybody will ever find out about. Disobedience diminishes you. That's why God wants you in an obedient walk with Him, not because He's a taskmaster, not because He's a I got to have everything my way kind of guy, because He loves you, and everything He is calling you to in obedience is so that it will go well with you. It is for your benefit. It is for your freedom. And so if you have found yourself in small disobediences, just changing the rules a little bit at a time, then just acknowledge that right now, that drops on you in this moment, and you go, oh, that's me. Then just start back and just, confess what needs to be confessed, make amends where it needs to be made amends, but start walking in obedience. And it's the same thing as we've been talking about before. Right now, as you acknowledge that before God, He will tell you what to do next. You will know. If you will just turn your heart toward Him, He will communicate to you in a way that you will understand, and you will know what to do next.
And walking in the light, it's amazing. I've heard from so many people who had been changing the rules, and it felt so powerful keeping it in the dark, and they were horrified and scared of bringing it into the light. Even if it was, one listener called once and just said she had an infatuation with the pastor, and once she came clean with her husband, it was instantly broken. And there's something powerful about keeping your sin hidden, and there's something even more powerful about bringing it out into the light. And so for the sake of your call, for the sake of the purpose of God over your life and your integrity, walk in the light that it may go well with you, as Jennifer says. Okay, here's another section, small change. And I'm thinking of the people who maybe just feel overwhelmed by their inadequacy and lack of supply in their lives. And you ask, is there any area of your life where supply seems to be getting smaller, or any area of your life where you feel that you're just not good enough or strong enough to do what you're being called to do? Don't project. Just do the next thing. One step in the strength you have. When confronted with your feeling of inadequacy, pray, here I go in the strength I have. Wow, I love that. Say more about that.
Yeah, I pull that from Gideon. Here's Gideon, this like scaredy cat baby of the family, not adequate to anything, and the Lord comes to him and says, mighty warrior, and sends him, gives him the call to go and rescue Israel when no one else has been able to do that. And Gideon goes, well, gosh, I'm sure you have the wrong man, because... And then he gives all the reasons why he should not be the one, and what the angel of the Lord says, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? I just love that phrase. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we tend to be waiting for some strength to drop upon us where we feel like we're adequate. Oh, yeah, I can do that. But the Lord is saying, go in the strength you have. One step. One step, one step. That is all you're responsible for, is just one step.
So here you're a widow, and your kids are, how old were they when your hubby died?
They were all in their early and middle 20s.
Wow. And yeah. So you, I can only imagine the fears that went through your head. How did you go in the strength you have? What was that like, and how did you see evidences of God's grace as you took one small step after the other?
Oh, my goodness, over and over again. And it was, and again, that's where I really began to learn that it's all this stuff that God has been teaching me in the mundane daily things of life that now matters, that really is going to carry me through. But to see how God had planned in advance every detail, made every provision for me that I needed to have, even to this, I'll tell this quick story. I had always had my office away from home, and my husband had his office at home. And I just like to go away and work and then come home and be home. But when our youngest son left for college, Wayne said, hey, you could move your office into Stinson's room. And I just went, well, yeah. And it was just kind of like a lark. So we had a year of with both of our offices at home. So we had this wonderful year together, just fun, run out to a movie in the middle of the day, eat whatever we want, laugh at our own jokes. Now, we thought it was the first year of many to come, but it was really our last year. We didn't know that. But what a precious last year that was.
Mm, wow.
And just in the things like that, I saw and continue to see God's provision in the tiniest little details, and in the moments that seem like, again, just a fluke, just a, oh, well, why not? And then in the end turn out to be kind of important in your life.
Isn't that something? And that's why it goes to just show you that he's just better than we know, and he's more invested than we can fathom. And here's another small change section in your book. You say, today, stay open to small provision that God has already made available to you. Perhaps something you've overlooked because it seemed insignificant, a friendship, an ability, a small amount of money. See what happens when you put your small into his big hands. When you notice the small provision, pray in your hands. Say a word about that.
Yeah, just again, because something is small does not mean it is not significant. The fact that it's small, that's pulling, I think, off the story of when Jesus fed the 5,000 with a small fish and loaf of bread, and how the disciples must have looked at that and thought, man, is it even worth bringing him this? Because look at the size of the need and look at the size of our supply. This might even just be embarrassing. But when you take everything you've got, just the tiny bit that you've got, and you put it in his hands, he multiplies it in ways that you could never imagine. He is not counting on your supply. He is counting on your need placed in his hands so you can experience his supply.
Isn't that the best news? When we come back, I'm going to talk with Jennifer about a mustard seed of faith. What's the significance of a mustard seed? And what happens when you have a mustard seed of faith? Don't go away. You've got one more chance to call in. I'd love to hear when a small choice made a very big difference in your life. 877-933-2484. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Don't underestimate the power of one small, faithful step. I'm Susie Larson. More with Jennifer Kennedy Dean in just a moment.
As as a parent with small children, I frequently see a connection to obedience and care and love that I didn't used to see. So when my little ones need to learn to obey, I see a very direct correlation to my need for that same kind of obedience to the Lord. And it's just this ongoing parable that it surprises me almost every day.
Daily the heavens pour forth speech. Daily God is teaching us, speaking to us, showing us where to go. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jennifer Kennedy Dean. And I'm just saying, she's an amazing Bible teacher. If you've got a conference or retreat coming up, you need to check her out because she is powerful in person as well. 877-933-2484. Last segment to call and chime in. I want to know, when was a time where you made a small choice, a seemingly maybe even insignificant choice, but it turned out to be kind of a big deal? We're talking about the power of small. Think small to live large. And so talk about the significance, if you would, Jennifer, of a mustard seed and why that's mentioned in Scripture.
Yeah. Jesus uses the idea of a mustard seed because the mustard seed itself is the smallest seed. It's almost invisible to the naked eye, but it grows the largest plant. And so when you look at any seed, but take that tiny little mustard seed, you cannot imagine that the potential in that seed is to grow a plant so large that Jesus says the birds will come to rest in it. And so he's making the point in that part of the scripture that it just takes a tiny amount of faith to produce the hugest effects. And if we have just enough faith to turn toward him, that's all it takes. You don't have to know what he's going to do. You don't even have to emotionally believe it. If you have enough faith to just turn toward him. And I use there the story of when Jesus and some of his disciples were out in the boat, and big storm comes along, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, and the disciples who are fishermen and used to the sea, and they finally get so panicked that they wake him up, and he calms the storm, and then he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I think we tend to hear that as scolding, like, "Oh, shame on you, you of little faith." But really, did Jesus expect them to have the same faith that he had to be able to calm the storms? I think he said it more like this. Hey, you had a little faith. You didn't even need to doubt. You had a little faith, just enough faith to turn to Jesus in their problem. That is all the faith it took to get Jesus to calm the storm.
So good. We just have a handful of minutes left, but I'm going to see if I can squeeze in these calls. But I've got a few more questions for you, too. We'll see how efficient I can be. Joyce calling in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Mm-hmm. My story started in 2002 when I was actually 57 years old. I'd wanted to write ever since I was in high school, and I kept putting it off. And when my mother went to heaven, I dashed off a eulogy before we left for the out-of-state memorial service. A hospice worker came to me afterwards, and she said, "Are you a writer?" And I said, "No, but I've always wanted to be." She looked at me, and she said, "Well, you ought to go for it because you're good at it." She turned around, and I watched her back, you know, after listening to this, because I actually had been praying and asking the Lord what he wanted me to do during my retirement years. And I thought, well, what an interesting place to get my answer to prayer.
Wow.
So I came home, yeah, and I went online because I have chronic illness and, you know, was pretty much homebound at that time. And I looked over writing classes, and I found one that I thought, you know, would fit. And I took the first step by signing up, and then, of course, it was 8 weeks, and I did all the assignments. And then this woman who taught it had a weekly, well, no, actually it was a daily newsletter, Chicken Soup for the Soul type stories, and that's what I found very easy to write. So I took it wasn't an assignment, but, you know, I wrote a story on the side, and I decided to send it off to her, and she published it, and then it was in an anthology, and then I went on to co-found a Christian writers group, and that was when we lived in Wisconsin, and then when we came to Sioux Falls, I led a group here for 3 years, and it goes on and on and on, but, you know, it's just been one step at a time.
Yeah, that's it. It's the first sign up for the class.
That's
step
right.
Step one. That's all you got to do. Step one. I love that story.
Great story, Joyce. We're going to see if we can squeeze in Vicki calling in from Bloomington. Vicki, welcome.
Hello. My decision was also to take a class. It was Spanish in high school. I did not do well in German, so I switched to Spanish. The first day, the instructor said, Spanish is so valuable, largest second language in the United States, and there's a mission in Peru that accepts lay ministers. Right away, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I majored in elementary education, minored in Spanish in college, went down and served as a missionary for 2 years, training Sunday school teachers, and worked in a bilingual school afterwards, worked with migrant workers in Iowa, and have used Spanish ever since. It has a huge decision.
Huge, Vicki. Thank you. What do you want to say? Anything, Jennifer?
I just want a perfect illustration.
Yeah, and so succinct. Way to go, yes. Vicki. Okay, so I got to read this from your book. What challenge confronts you right now? Big or small, it doesn't matter. What would it mean for you right now to plant your mustard seed faith in the soil? The situation God has in your life right now, settle in your heart that all the work will be invisible for some time. I want to say that again. Hear this from Jennifer. Settle in your heart that all the work will be invisible for some time. Choose faith. When you feel tempted to dig it up or take it back, declare, my mustard seed faith is planted. Say another word about that.
Yeah. And it's the illustration with the mustard seed, and God uses seed so many times. The thing about it is that once you plant that seed, there is a period of time where the growth that's happening is underground and you can't see it. You can't observe it. You can't measure it. So it is a matter of just standing in faith. I have planted all the faith I've got right here into this situation. I will believe that God is faithful no matter what I see with my eyes, and just keep it planted there, because we're attuned to big and we're attuned to visible. And those are the two opposite things of the way the work of the kingdom starts.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, and one last thing, thought on that. Most of the time, when you are confronted with a situation or you're hearing a call of God or whatever it is that's requiring faith, what you feel like is, I don't have enough faith for this. And that's why that whole section is about, it just takes a mustard seed of faith. That is all it takes. Mm. Plant that faith and watch it grow.
So encouraging. As we wrap up, you know, I'm thinking of the woman who approached Joyce to say, you can write, you really should write. I want to be that person who's so in tune with the Holy Spirit that I am sowing seeds everywhere in the lives of people, saying what I see that brings life, brings encouragement. And here's another excerpt from your book. Look for every opportunity to speak a word that sustains the weary. Strangers, family, friends, speak to them, write to them. Let the power of small loosen your world through your words. Pray, let me speak with an instructed tongue. Say a word as we get ready to pray here about just that prayer. Lord Jesus, let me speak with an instructed tongue.
Yeah, that the power of words, there's nothing that illustrates the power of small more than the power of words, but for the good or for the bad. Those words, you're going to speak them. They may have been words that you thought out. They may have been words that just spontaneously came to you in the moment, but they're going to nest in someone's heart, and they're going to live there forever. The power of small is beautifully illustrated in the power that words have in our lives. So watch for opportunities, make opportunities to be an encourager with your words.
And I feel like I have to squeeze this in because this has to be for somebody. Here's one more excerpt from Jennifer's book, and this might be just for you today. Are you ready for it? Face a giant today. What have you held back about because you felt small in comparison to the challenge? Today, make a move or stand your ground in the strength you have. As we get ready to wrap up, would you just pray, Jennifer, that we would be a people who speak with an instructed tongue, that we're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that we are speaking life to those around us?
Yes, Father, I just ask that you would take this word and put it deep into us and cause it to grow roots, and then let the fruit come from our mouths. Let what comes from our mouths be what has come from your heart. Let us live in such small obedience to you, step by step, moment by moment, that when the moment arises, we have the words that will sustain the weary. Father, I just pray for anyone right now who is looking for to take the next right step. Would you give that person your power and your peace and your provision, and give them right now the confidence that it is you telling them the next right step.
In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sister, you are so precious. Thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Always good to be with you, Jennifer.
Same.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find podcasts of today's programs up on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. While you're up there, just know this. There's a voter's guide up there. If you need a little help, encouragement, you want to vote from a biblical perspective, I'll be praying for you as well. I'm so glad you tuned in. Hope you found some encouragement here today. I'm going to leave you with this. I say pretty much every day, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.